bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle, bicycle, bicycle. I want to ride my bicycle.
Well, the sun's out again, helping to dry up some of the puddles. If you're wanting to go for a ride on your bicycle today, probably better than it was yesterday morning at this time. But the Canada Games are coming up on the weekend. And I want to talk a little about cycling here because my next guest is a cyclist who's trying hard to prove to everyone in Moose Jaw in Saskatchewan he's one of the best. But yes, with the Canada Games coming up in Newfoundland, this Saturday it begins. You've got Hayden Cott from Regina, a dual athlete playing basketball and captaining the volleyball team for the games. Also, our flag bearer. And this young man, 17-year-old Marcus Capilli, who is going to represent Saskatchewan as a cyclist, competing in three different events. What's it take to get there? Welcome to the show, Marcus. We're about to find out. I appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
Nice to have you here ahead of the big games. How did your love of cycling ever begin? Like, how old were you?
So I started speed skating is actually what got me into it. And I started that when I was about 10, and then I got on a bike to start training for it, maybe when I was around 12, and I didn't start racing until I was about 14. I just did it as training to begin with, and then eventually I thought that it could be fun to, you know, try it as an actual sport, and I tried racing, and it kind of just clicked with me, and I really enjoyed it.
Now, it's competitive for you. Now, when I go for a bike ride, I usually do 10 to 12 kilometers in an afternoon, but I'm pretty leisurely. How does my bike ride differ from what you do?
So it kind of depends on the day for us. During the week, it's a lot of intensity, and then the weekends are usually a longer ride. So during the week, anywhere between, you know, 40 to 80K, and then on the weekends, usually 100 to 130, 40.
And where do you like to ride in order to train?
Mainly on the highways. It's a lot safer than in the city, especially because it's a lot easier to get the miles in on the highway as well.
How many bugs would you say you've consumed mid-ride, and do you count protein per wing or per leg?
I've probably consumed quite a few bugs, probably in unhealthy amount, is it?
Marcus Capilli's my guest. All right, you're a cyclist. What sort of competitions will you face at the upcoming summer games? Like, what sort of distances are we talking about?
So the road race, it's around a 10K loop, and then we'll do that, I think, probably around 12 times. It'll be about 120 kilometers.
Wow.
The time trial, I believe, will be about 20 kilometers. So that one's solo, and it'll just be, like, all out. And then the criterium, probably be around 40 kilometers around, around downtown St. John's.
You've obviously been riding long enough to be committed to knowing that you can handle all of that because you've probably tested yourself at those distances. Am I correct?
Sure, yeah. Yes, you are. I hope my fitness is where it needs to be in order to, you know, compete and do well there. It's hard to say, yeah, I will do good, but the hope is that everything I've done in preparation has been enough, and then when we get there, everything falls in place.
What's your diet like? How do you fuel yourself as you train?
Just a lot of carbs. So on the bikes, like, I eat a lot of Rice Krispies when I'm training just because they're cheap and easy to make. A lot of carbs, granola bars and things like that, and gummies.
Will you stick some gummies, Rice Krispie bars in your spandex when you compete?
No, so when we race, we use gels. So they're basically just like a gel that has a whole bunch of carbs in them. They're a lot easier to eat when you're at a really hard effort. You don't feel like puking when you eat them. So we try and get around 100 to 120 grams of carbs every hour.
So can you make a living out of this?
Yes, you can. There's different ranks through, but basically I'm working to get on a trade team, which is basically a step above the provincial team. And then from there, you can get scouted from European teams. And they're called UCI teams. And that's when you can start making some money once you sign like a pro contract.
Cool. Well, I hope that works out for you one day. I've got Marcus Capilli on the phone and representing us in just a matter of days at the Summer Games. What's the reaction like from your friends when they see you biking all the time? They want to go do something fun, but no, Marcus wants to go bike again.
Yeah, they're interested from it. I wouldn't say that they want to do it as well, but I definitely see quite a few people I know when I'm out and stuff and get a lot of waves and that kind of thing. But a lot of my close friends do it with me, so it's fun to do it with them and that kind of thing.
Do you ever go out just for a leisurely cycle, or is that boring to you?
No, I haven't in a long time. I guess you could consider a recovery ride a leisurely cycle, but...
Are you dating anyone right now?
No, I'm not.
I bet if there was a good-looking girl that wanted to go slow, you'd slow it up, wouldn't you?
Yeah, probably.
Be honest, do you cycle for fitness, for the thrill of racing, or just to justify owning an $8,000 bike in a closet full of neon spandex?
You know, I guess you can consider it all three. I find it really fun, so I like to go out, but it's also really fun testing my body and seeing how far I can really push myself.
Well, I can't wait for you, man, to compete starting August 8th. All of Moose Jaw and I think pretty much all of Saskatchewan will be behind you at the Games, and I wish you nothing but success. And after that, back to speed skating, right?
Correct. So after that, I get home, and then a week later, I'm in Katoon for a week for training for skating again. So
you just dump out of school altogether?
Well, I take quite a few online classes, so
okay.
It's a little easier.
Good luck, my friend. Thanks for joining the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, if you're just waking up, a little sunshine perhaps coming through your window now as there's some blue sky. It was a little gray at this time yesterday, and eventually we got some good rain here, and a few thunderstorms rolled through. Joining me now, Kevin Martell from the 980 CJME Newsroom. There was one community that got more rain than all the others.
Wynyard, yeah, according to Environment Canada this morning, that area hit with about 40 millimeters or so, so a little over an inch and a half of rain. That on the high end. Of course, here in Regina, it as you mentioned, it rained pretty consistently yesterday. I remember at one point, I think it was doing the news at during my 10 o'clock newscast or 11 o'clock newscast, Greg, right before I was finishing, a huge crack of thunder goes off. And it startled me because even here in the news booth, you could hear it pretty clearly yesterday. 19 millimeters is what Environment Canada says we got, so about 3/4 of an inch.
I remember that. You came running out of the booth there and nearly jumped into my arms.
Was that an earthquake?
Hey, that forecast yesterday, I was concerned when I guaranteed 25 degrees because I didn't think there was going to be enough sun to get there. I was hesitant, but I went with it anyhow. And sure enough, I lost.
You blew it.
$875.
Wow.
And
impressive. Mark
Millett of Regina. I'm going to try and get a hold of him here shortly and see how he wants to spend this and if he wants to receive the $875.
Wow.
If he says no, well, then I'll just add $25 to it. But I think he's going to take it.
Wow, what a nice little Wednesday treat. By the way, nobody won the Lotto Max, speaking of jackpots. Nobody won the Lotto Max.
Okay, thank you very much
night.
For that there. How about the Riders? Winning ways, 7-1, sitting 2 games up in the West. They're selling tickets off their success. The Labor Day Classic officially sold out.
This does not surprise me in the least because this is the game each year. This is the game that, at least for me, I hear more about people going to this game, wanting to go to this game. The rivalry is always there. It doesn't matter how good teams are. We've had years where Saskatchewan has not been that great and Winnipeg's been very good. And we've had, you know, flipped years and people will still go out to this game. You have your tickets?
Well, no, I can't. It's sold out. I waited too long.
You didn't already get them all.
No, it's sold out. But I see no reason why the next game, a week from Saturday, we're in a bye right now, shouldn't be sold out either. With the record we have, Bo Levi Mitchell just playing at the top of his game again with the Ticats, top of the East. You would think that one will be sold out. And there's a few thousand tickets left. Perhaps it will, but
still time.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe I'll go to that one, Kevin. Maybe I'll go to that one. The RPS, they got the police plane back up in the air. And man, a story this week that just proves why, you know, it's necessary and how good it works.
Yeah. And this was what could have been a frightening end. But thankfully, nobody was hurt in this. But so police stopped a vehicle believed to be a dangerous driver, impaired driver at the time. The impaired driver went through the traffic stop, didn't stop, and eventually sped away, going to the east end of the city. So this started on Echuca Boulevard, and eventually it ended in Glencairn. But at times, police say this vehicle was going about 100 kilometers an hour down some residential streets. Obviously, as you can imagine, some very close calls with vehicles, other vehicles, and at one point, almost hitting a child on a bike. Almost hitting. It didn't hit, thankfully. But eventually they caught the guy with the help of this police plane, and now he's facing several charges.
And at those speeds, too, they tend to back off, don't they?
They really do.
Chase and count on the plane, and it clearly worked. More on that story coming up. I'm out of time with Kevin Martell. Thank you, sir, from the 980 CJME Newsroom. The sun is out. It's 15 degrees at 6:58. Come on, baby, just pump it. Louder. Pump it. Louder. Well, I hope it gets real loud tomorrow night at Curry Field for the Regina Red Sox, who are now about to embark on a mission to beat Medicine Hat. They won 3 out of 4 games over the long weekend and their regular season, and now they will welcome the Medicine Hat Mavericks in the East Division semifinal. The Hat finished 2nd in the East Division, and the Sox will start on the road tonight at Medicine Hat before coming back to Curry Field for Game 2 tomorrow. This is a best of 3, and joining me now is team president Gary Brotzel. Gary, size up this matchup. Are you guys the underdogs or what in this one?
I don't think so. I was just looking at the schedule over the past season here, and we actually split four wins each out of the 8 games, and the home team won 3 of the 4 each time. So it looks like it's kind of shaping up to maybe a home field advantage situation. But we're heading into the playoffs. We've been playing really well, and I know the boys are very confident they can get in the victory tonight.
I'm happy you pointed that out, because I was looking at that too, each club 4 games apiece. But the Hap won the last 3 at home. Momentum is everything. So how has this club adjusted to help stop that momentum from continuing tonight?
Yeah, we had a bit of a spell there where we weren't playing well. We had some pitchers leave to play professional baseball. We had to bring in a few additions, and just took a bit of time for the new guys to gel and kind of fit in the roster. And I think we're at a point now where everybody that is here today believes in our roster, and they believe they can win this series.
Well, I hope you do too. And Gary, I got to ask you, how successful was the regular season as far as you're concerned at Curry Field this year?
It was really good, Greg. As you know, June, the weather wasn't great in June. We had some just awful nights where the ballpark was virtually empty. But, you know, once again, our average attendance is up. We're starting to creep into that, 1,000 a game average. And, really happy with the way July panned out. Crowds have been just fantastic, and everybody coming out certainly having a good time.
No one I have met that has been to a Red Sox game has not come away thinking that was a fun night at the park, and great for family as far as entertainment value. You've always been kings about the value you get for a family of 4 and the food trucks and the food and the concession and all of that. But Gary, are we still talking about the possibility of a new ball diamond? Does that still roll in your head?
Yeah, that rolls in my head almost every night. My head hits the pillow.
Where are we on that? What are you thinking?
It's probably not for me to say. As you know, we have a new ownership group that will be taking over October 1st, and I'm quite confident there's been some behind the doors meetings there. So with the city, and I think things will get rolling. I hope they will. This is a glorious opportunity to have some private investment in the ballpark, and hopefully it gets done.
Okay, Gary Brotzel, my guest from the Regina Red Sox. Hey, I wanted to ask you, too, about the Saskatoon Berries, who finished their regular season with the best record the WCBL has ever seen. 46 wins, 9 losses. They host 4th place Moose Jaw in the best of 3 East Division semifinal starting tonight. And as president of your club, Gary, what can you learn from that success? Were you surprised by it at all, or what do you take away from their success?
I'm not surprised. The model that we're headed to beginning next year is the model they're using. They have private ownership. Their ownership group's involved with the Blades and the Rush, and they obviously know what they're doing from a marketing standpoint, a social media standpoint. And, that's where we want to head with the Red Sox next year.
Well, let's start with a victory tonight. I haven't looked at the Medicine Hat forecast. I'm a little concerned for you tomorrow, though. 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms. I'm sure you you have an idea of what might happen if that game has to be postponed and move it around, but hopefully not. I wish you the best. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, did you want to add to that?
Well, I'm just going to say, we will do everything in our power to play that game tomorrow. So hopefully your forecast is off a little bit, and those big clouds that roll in.
Gary, are you telling me I'm wrong with weather sometimes?
Yeah, you got to be wrong tomorrow, Greg. We need those clouds just to skirt a little bit north of Curry Field.
Okay. Tomorrow. All right. The hat tonight, Curry tomorrow, best of three. Let's hope they can do her this run. I wish you well, buddy. Thanks for calling in the show this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Hey, Evan Bray's away on vacation this week, and boy, I feel for anyone who has the week off here because it was a little unstable yesterday. Looks all right today. More rain tomorrow through the weekend here. So I don't know if Bray is out of town or what he's doing, but I feel like every time I take a vacation, the weather has just been perfect for me so far. So fingers crossed the next time I do, it's the same. But joining me now, Tamara Cherry, who is filling in. And Tamara, You saw about 3/4 of an inch of rain yesterday. How does your garden look this morning? Are you happy? Are you a green thumber? Is everything around your yard just blooming right now?
I'm always happy when I don't need to go take the hose out and water the plants. And
are you a consistent waterer? Because
to see the rain, because I'm not a consistent waterer, yeah. Greg. I forget and things get wilted, things dry out, things die in my garden. So I'm always happy when Mother Nature does it for me.
Yeah, I know on the farm right now, a friend of mine who farms their Lang, they're busy pulling a lot of greens and a lot of carrots out of the garden. Beets are being canned right now, and I'm just like, oh man, it's nice to have friends who can, because usually I can score one or two of those.
But yes,
hey, look, the premier is going to be on your show right out of the gate at 8:30 today, and this is timely given that yesterday we heard the prime minister suggest that he and Trump haven't really talked as of late. And I played it earlier. The U.S. ambassador to Canada pretty much told CTV, I saw an interview yesterday, that, you know what, negotiations are kind of at a slow crawl. Not stalled, but the president is more interested in getting a deal done with Trump. And I know our premier, Scott Moe, he wants Carney to just, you know, lay off on the extra tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Ford said, no, let's go hard, hit him hard. So this will be an interesting conversation. What do you got on tap for him?
It is really interesting. When you think back just 5 months ago, Greg, when this whole trade war started, we saw a real united front from provincial leaders right across the country, including ours and Doug Ford in Ontario, and really sort of walking in step with the federal government. Scott Moe at that time expressed support of a big counter tariff package that was announced by the federal government earlier this year. Now, like you said, a lot different. You know, Doug Ford is basically saying in Ontario, hit him where it hurts. And it seems that Scott Moe has walked back some of the rhetoric that we heard from him in March. So I'm interested to ask him what changed. You know, we're in much of the same situation, except our tariffs now are higher. I'm also interested in speaking to him about something we haven't talked too much about on the national scale, which is canola, because, of course, it's got to hurt to see our prime minister out in Kelowna yesterday announcing this, what was it, a $1.5 billion relief package for the lumber industry,
right,
saying that I believe the numbers, I'm just quoting off the top of my head, where, you know, that they export $20 billion worth of goods from this country every year. Well, we export $40 billion of canola and about $20 billion from Saskatchewan, and we're still facing 100% tariffs from China. So where are the talks on that? I saw another interesting report yesterday out of Australia. Actually, it was in the Globe and Mail, but talking about Australia is now starting to take a bite out of our canola shares going to China. So is that something that's on the premier's radar? So much to discuss. And of course, Greg, the most pressing issue, how are we going to get Chapel Roan to Saskatchewan?
Yes. I wonder if that's high on his docket right now.
I'm sure it's the number one issue, but I'm going to force him to talk about some other things.
All right, Tamara, we'll see you back here at 8:30. Thank you so much. Tamara Cherry, filling in for Evan Bray this week. Coming up with Kevin Martell, we've got a sellout on Labor Day already, but still a lot of tickets left for the next game against the Ticats a week from Saturday. We're in the bye right now. That's going to be Family Fun Day, too, where you can go on the field after the game, get some autographs for the club, but more on the Riders and how the police plane came to the rescue in a big way for RPS on Monday night. You're going to want to hear this story next with Kevin Martell.